prayers of Charles Spurgeon, reformers, Puritans, and others, to great sacrifice. O God, our Father, we remember well when we were called to you. With many sweet and wooing voices, we were bidden to return. You did yourself hang out the lights of mercy that we might know the way home. And your dear Son himself came down to seek us. But we wander still. It brings the tears to our eyes to think that we should have been so foolish and so wicked. For we often extinguish the light within, and conscience we tried to harden. And we sinned against light and knowledge with a high hand against our God. You have often brought us very low, even to our knees. And we cried for mercy, but we rose to sin again. Blessed was that day when you struck the blow of grace, the effectual blow. You did then wither up our comeliness, and all our perfection was rolled in the dust. We saw ourselves to be slain by the law, to be lost, ruined, and undone. And then we rolled to and fro in the tempests of our thoughts and staggered like drunken men, and were at our wits' end. Then we cried to you in our trouble and blessed your name forever that you had delivered us. O happy day that sealed our pardon with the precious blood of Jesus, accepted by faith. We would recall the memory of that blessed season by repeating it. We come again now to the cross in which the Savior bled. We give another look of faith to him. We trust we never take away our eyes off him. But if we have done so, we would look anew. We would gaze into the body of the Son of God, pierced with nails, parched with thirst, bleeding, dying, because it pleased the Father to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Lord God, we see in your crucified Son a sacrifice for sin. We see how you have made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And we do over again accept him to be everything to us. This is a victim by whose blood the covenant is made through faith. This is that paschal lamb by the sprinkling of whose blood all Israel is secured. For you have said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is the blood which gives us access into that which is within the veil. And this is a blood which now to our souls is drink indeed. And we rejoice in the joy which this new wine of the covenant has given to our spirits. We would take afresh a cup of salvation and call upon your name. We would pay our vows now in the midst of all the Lord's people and in the courts of his house. And this is a part payment of our vow that we bless the Lord Jesus who has put away our sin. We bless him that he has redeemed us to himself, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with his own precious blood. And we avow ourselves today to be his. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Lord Jesus, renew your grasp of us. Take us over again, for we do even with greater alacrity than before surrender ourselves to thee. And so to bind the sacrifice with cords, even with cords to the horns of the altar. O Lord, we are your servants and the son of your handsmaid. You have loosed our bonds. You live and bless us. You are our rock. From now on, within that rock, we hide ourselves. For him we live. The Lord enable all his people with sincere hearts, with undivided hearts, thus again to give themselves up to Jesus. And please set them anew, in them the marks and tokens of your possession, until every one of us shall say, as many of us as can say, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The following is an evening prayer from John Haberman, who died in the year 1590. Praise be to you, you great and unchangeable God. Praise be unto thy goodness and mercy. Praise be unto thy eternal wisdom and truth, that thou hast preserved me during the day now past from all danger and harm. I pray, graciously perfect your goodness which you have begun in us, and suffer me to rest this night under your protecting shield and cover us with your wings. Allow us to put our trust under the shadow of your hands, that I would fear no evil. Keep me, O God, as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Lord, you are the portion of our inheritance. Our salvation is in your hands. Grant unto me according to your goodness that neither fear nor trembling come over me, and no terrors of the night overwhelm me. Be merciful unto me, for in you do I put my trust, and under the shadow of your wings do I find my refuge. I seek the Lord in the time of need. My hand is outstretched in the night without ceasing, for my soul has none other comfort, and I know of none other helper in heaven or earth but you alone. At midnight, when I awaken, I meditate upon your name, so altogether lovely, upon your goodness and fidelity vouchsafed to me, and I praise you because of your righteous judgments. When I am troubled, I remember God. When my spirit is overwhelmed, I speak of my Savior. He redeems my life from destruction and saves me from the snares of death. Lord God, my Savior, by day and by night, I cry to you. Pardon all my transgressions, which during this day and the week now past I've committed against you. O Lord, deliver our souls for your mercy's sake. You are gracious and just, and our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and you helped me. Therefore will I rejoice and praise you and sing aloud upon my bed. For the days of my life will appear as noonday, and darkness as the morning's light. And I will rejoice that you, O God, are my hope and my rest in life and death. I lay me down, and none will terrify me. So do I commend my body and soul into your hands. Thou faithful God, thou hast redeemed me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From the 1570 edition of Christian Prayers and Holy Meditations, now lately augmented and newly imprinted again, by Henry Middleton, 1570. These prayers were collected by Henry Bowell in 1566. It is published by the Parker Society. Our Father, which art in heaven, as by these words, Our Father, I am taught to glory and rejoice for the blessed communion which I am called to with you and with your Christ and with your Holy Church. So also am I here taught by these words, which art in heaven, to rejoice in respect of the place and blessed joys in which at the length in your good time I shall come. For now I may perceive that as heaven is your home, so is it mine also, being as I am your child through Christ, although here for a time I am bodily on earth and in misery. Again, by these words, which art in heaven, I am admonished not only to discern about you from my earthly fathers, and to know how that you are almighty, present in all places and of most purity, to confirm by my faith, to be provoked the more to fear you, to reverence you, and so on. But also I am admonished to judge of your fatherly love by heavenly benefits, and not by corporal simply and alone. For oftentimes the wicked prosper more in the world and have more worldly benefits than your children, so that by this I see that you would pull up my mind from earth and earthly things to heaven and heavenly things, and that I should see by further bodily benefits your heavenly providence for me. For if you place me thus on earth, and thus bless me as you do and hitherto have done from my youth up, and that you are nothing so careful for my body as for my soul, how should I but think much of your providence for it in your home, where is such glory as the eye has not seen, of which things these corporal benefits of yours given me on earth should be as it were inductions, and had taken of them away admonitions to be more mindful of permanent things and less mindful of transitory things. By reason of this, I have great cause to lament and yet to rejoice. To lament because I am so earthly minded, so little desirous of my heavenly home, so unthankful for your providence and fatherly correction here on earth. But to rejoice because of my home and the great glory of it, because you do provide for me here, because you do so correct and chasten me. But alas, I'm altogether a wretch, earthly and unthankful, not only for these corporal benefits, health, riches, friends, fame, and wisdom, and so on, for your fatherly correction, sickness, temptation, and so on, but also for your heavenly benefits, for Christ Jesus, for the promise of your Spirit, for your gospel, yea, even for heaven itself and your whole glory, as the Israelites were for the land of Canaan, and therefore never enjoyed it, but perished in the wilderness. I am proud in prosperity and forget you. I wax secure and careless. I am impatient in the cross and too much consider worldly discommodity. Oh, Father, forgive me for Christ's sake. All mine unthankfulness, love of this world, contempt, and oblivion of your heavenly benefits, and grant me your Holy Spirit to illuminate the eyes of my mind with the light and lively knowledge of your presence, power, wisdom, and goodness in your creatures, but especially in Christ Jesus, your Son. And so by the same Spirit inflame mine affections, that I may desire nothing on earth but you, and to present with you that my conversation may be in heaven continually, from whence grant me still to look for the Lord Jesus, to make this my vile body like to his glorious and immortal body, according to his own power, by which he is able to do all things, as you have given me to be your child. So I pray, give me these things which be the properties of your children, given from you in your good time. The following is a prayer from the collected writings of Edward VI, the Lamentation or Complaint of a Sinner, made by the most virtuous and right gracious lady, Queen Catherine Parr, bewailing the ignorance of her blind life, led in superstition of an humble confession of sins to the glory of God. When I consider and am bethinking of mine evil and wretched former life, mine obstinate, stony, and untractable heart, to have so much exceeded in vileness that it is not only neglected, yet contemned and despised God's holy precepts and commandments, but also embraced, received, and esteemed vain, foolish, and feigned trifles, I am partly by the hate I owe to sin which has reigned in me, and partly by the love I owe to all Christians whom I am content to edify, even with the example of my own shame, forced and constrained with my heart and words, to confess and declare to the world how ingrate, negligent, unkind, and stubborn I have been to God my Creator, and how beneficial, merciful, and gentle he has been always to me his creature, being such a miserable and wretched sinner. Truly I have taken no little small thing upon me, first to set forth my whole stubbornness and contempt in words, the which is incomprehensible in thought, as it is in the 19th Psalm, who can understand his faults? Next to this, to declare the excellent beneficence, mercy, and goodness of God, which is infinite and unmeasurable. Neither can all the words of angels and men make relation thereof, as that pertains to his most high goodness. Who is he that is not forced to confess the same, if he consider what he has received of God and doth daily receive? Yea, if men would not acknowledge and confess the same, the stones would cry it out. Truly I am constrained and forced to speak and write of it to mine own confusion and shame, but yet to the glory and praise of God. For he, as a loving Father, of most abundant and high goodness, has heaped upon me innumerable benefits. and I, contrary to this, have heaped manifold sins, despising that which was good, holy, pleasant, and acceptable in his sight, and choosing that which was delicious, pleasant, and acceptable in my sight. And no marvel it was that I so did, for I would not learn to know the Lord and his ways, but loved darkness better than light. Yea, darkness seemed to me light. I embraced ignorance as perfect knowledge, and knowledge seemed to me superfluous and vain. I regarded little God's word, but gave myself to vanities and shadows of the world. I forsook him, in whom all truth is, and followed the vain, foolish imaginations of my heart. I would have covered my sins with the pretense of holiness. I called superstition godly meaning, and true holiness error. The Lord did speak many pleasant and sweet words to me, but I would not hear. He called me diversely, but through frowardness I would not answer. Mine evils and miseries are so many and so great that they can accuse me even of my face. Oh, how miserably and wretchedly am I confounded, when for the multitude and greatness of my sins I am compelled to accuse myself. Was it not a marvelous unkindness when God did speak to me and also call to me, that I would not answer him? What man so called would not have heard? Of what man hearing would not have answered? If an earthly prince had spoken or called, I suppose there are none but would willingly have done both. Now therefore, what a wretch and caitiff am I, that when the prince of princes, the king of kings, spoke many pleasant and gentle words to me, and also called me so many and different times that they cannot be numbered. And yet, notwithstanding these great signs and tokens of love, I would not come to him, but hidden myself out of his sight, seeking many crooked byways in which I walked so long that I wholly lost his sight. And no marvel or wonder, for I had a blind guide called Ignorance, who dimmed so mine eyes that I could never perfectly get any sight of the fair, goodly, straight, and right ways of his doctrine, but continually traveled uncomfortably in foul, wicked, crooked, and perverse ways. Yea, because they were so much haunted of many, I could not think but that I walked in the perfect and right way, having more regard to the number of the walkers than to the order of the walking, believing also most assuredly with company to have walked to heaven, whereas I am most sure they would have brought me down to hell. I forsook the spiritual honoring of the true living God, and worshipped visible idols and images made of men's hands, believing by them to have gotten heaven. Yea, to say the truth, I made a great idol of myself, for I love myself better than God. And certainly, look, how many things are loved or preferred in our hearts before God. So many are taken in esteem for idols and for false gods. Alas, how have I violated this holy, pure, and most high precept and commandment of the love of God, which precept binds me to love him with my whole heart, mind, force, strength, and understanding. And I, like unto an evil, wicked, and disobedient child, have given my will, power, and senses to the contrary, making almost of every earthly and carnal thing a god. Furthermore, the blood of Christ is not reputed by me sufficient for to wash me from the filth of my sins, neither such ways as he had appointed by his word. But I sought for such riffraffs as the Bishop of Rome has planted in his tyranny and kingdom, trusting with great confidence by the virtue and holiness of them to receive full remission of my sins. And so I did, as much as was in me, obfuscate and darken the great benefit of Christ's passion, than the which no thought can conceive anything of more value. There cannot be done so great an injury and displeasure to Almighty God our Father as to tread underfoot Christ, his only begotten and well-beloved Son, all other sins in the world gathered together in one, are not so heinous and detestable in the sight of God. And no wonder, for in Christ crucified, God shows himself most noble and glorious, even an almighty God and most loving Father, and his only dear and chosen blessed Son. And therefore I count myself one of the most wicked and miserable sinners in the world, because I have been so much contrary to Christ, my Savior. Paul desired to know nothing but Christ crucified, after he had been rapt into the third heaven, where he heard such secrets as were not convenient and fit to utter to men, but counted all his works and doings as nothing to win Christ. And I most presumptuously, thinking nothing of Christ crucified, and I went about to set forth mine own righteousness, saying with a proud Pharisee, Good Lord, I thank thee that I am not like other men. I am no adulterer, nor fornicator, and so forth. With such like words of vainglory, extolling myself and despising others, working as an hired servant for wages or else for a reward, and not as a loving child, only for very love without respect of wages or reward, as I ought to have done. Neither did I consider how beneficial a father I had, who did show me his charity and mercy of his own mere grace and goodness, that when I was most his enemy, he sent his only begotten Son into this world of wretchedness and misery to suffer most cruel and sharp death for my redemption. But my heart was so stony and hard that this great benefit was never truly and lively printed in my heart, although with my words it was often rehearsed, thinking myself to be sufficiently instructed in it, and being indeed in blind ignorance. And yet I stood so well in mine own judgment and opinion that I thought it vain to seek the increase of my knowledge in this. Paul calls Christ the wisdom of God, and even the same Christ was to me foolishness. My pride and blindness deceived me, and the hardness of my heart withstood the growing of truth within it. Such were the fruits of my carnal and human reason, to have rotten ignorance in price for ripe and seasonable knowledge. Such also is the malice and wickedness that possesses the hearts of men. Such is the wisdom and pleasings of the flesh. I profess Christ in my baptism, when I began to live, but I swerve from him after baptism in continuance of my living, even as the heathen, which never do begin. Christ was innocent and void of all sin, and I wallowed in filthy sin and was free from no sin. Christ was obedient to his Father, even to the death of the cross, and I was disobedient and most stubborn, even to the confusion of truth. Christ was meek and humble in heart, and I was most proud and vainglorious. Christ despised the world with all the vanities of it, but I made it my God because of the vanities. Christ came to serve his brethren, and I coveted to rule over them. Christ despised worldly honor, and I much delighted to attain it. Christ loved the base and simple things of the world, and I esteemed the most fair and pleasant things. Christ loved poverty, and I loved wealth. Christ was gentle and merciful to the poor, and I was hard-hearted and ungentle. Christ prayed for his enemies, and I hated mine. Christ rejoiced in the conversion of sinners, and I was not grieved to see their reversion to sin. By this declaration, all creatures may perceive how far I was from Christ and without Christ. Yea, how contrary to Christ, although I bear the name of a Christian, insomuch that if any man had said I had been without Christ, I would have stiffly denied and withstood it. And yet indeed I neither knew Christ, nor why he came. As concerning the effect and purpose of his coming, I had a certain vain and blind knowledge, both cold and dead, which may be had with all sin, and do plainly appear by this my confession and open declaration. Amen. Catherine Parr, the last woman to marry Henry VIII, wrote this retraction of her Catholic views in the year 1547, which brought her under a lot of scrutiny, of course, from the Catholic Church. This is the second chapter, A Lamentation of a Sinner with a Hearty Repentance and Faith, to obtain absolution and remission through the merits of Christ. What cause now have I to lament, sigh, and weep for my life and time so evil spent? With how much humility and lowliness ought I to come and acknowledge my sins to God, giving him thanks that it has pleased him of his abundant goodness to give me time of repentance. For I know my sins and the consideration of them to be so grievous and in a number so exceeding that I have deserved very often eternal damnation. And for the deferring of God's wrath, so manifoldly due, I must incessantly give thanks to the mercy of God, beseeching also that the same delay of punishment cause not his plague to be the sore, since mine own conscience condemns my former doings. But his mercy exceeds all iniquity. And if I should not thus hope, alas, what should I seek for refuge and comfort? No mortal man is of power to help me. And for the multitude of my sins, I dare not lift up mine eyes to heaven where the seat of judgment is. I have so much offended my God. What, shall I fall in desperation? No, I will call upon Christ, the light of the world, the fountain of life, the relief of all careful consciences, the peacemaker between God and man, and the only health and comfort of all true repentant sinners. He can by his almighty power save me and deliver me out of this miserable state, and has will, by his mercy, to save even the whole sin of the world. I have no hope nor confidence in any creature, neither in heaven nor earth, but in Christ, my whole and only Savior. He came into the world to save sinners and to heal them that are sick. For he said, the whole have need of the physician. Behold, Lord, how I come to you, a sinner sick and grievously wounded. I ask not bread, but the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Cast me not out of your sight, although I have deserved to be cast into hell fire. If I should look upon my sin and not upon your mercy, I should despair, for in myself I find nothing to save me but a dunghill of wickedness to condemn me. If I should hope, by mine own strength and power to come out of this maze of iniquity and wickedness in which I have walked so long, I should be deceived. For I am so ignorant, blind, weak, and feeble that I cannot bring myself out of this entangled and wayward maze, but the more I seek means and ways to wind myself out, the more I am wrapped and tangled in it, so that I perceive my striving in this to be a hindrance, my travail to be labor spent in going back. It is the hand of the Lord that can and will bring me out of the endless maze of death. For without I be prevented by the grace of the Lord, I cannot ask forgiveness, nor be repentant, or be sorry for them. There is no man can avow that Christ is the only Savior of the world, but by the Holy Ghost. Yea, as Paul says, no man can say the Lord Jesus, but by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit helps our infirmity and makes continual intercession for us with such sorrowful groanings as cannot be expressed. Therefore, I will first require and pray the Lord to give me his Holy Spirit to teach me to avow that Christ is the Savior of the world and to utter these words, the Lord Jesus, and finally to help mine infirmities and to intercede or entreat for me. For I am most certain and sure that no creature in heaven or earth is of power, or can by any means help me. But God, who is omnipotent, almighty, beneficial, and merciful, well-willing and loving to all those that call and put their whole confidence and trust in him. And therefore I will seek none other means nor advocate, Christ's Holy Spirit, who is only the advocate and mediator between God and man, to help and relieve me. Amen. A prayer of Lady Jane Grey in the time of her trouble. O Lord, thou God and Father of my life, hear me, a poor and desolate woman, which flies to you only in all troubles and miseries. Thou, O Lord, art the only defender and deliverer of those that put their trust in thee. And therefore I, being defiled with sin, encumbered with affliction, unquieted with troubles, wrapped in cares, overwhelmed with miseries, vexed with temptations, and grievously tormented with the long imprisonment of this vile mass of clay, my sinful body, come to you. O merciful Savior, craving your mercy and help, without which so little hope of deliverance is left, that I might utterly despair of any liberty. Albeit it is expedient that seeing our life stands upon trying, we should be visited sometime with some adversity, in which we might both be tried whether we are of your flock or not, and also know thee and ourselves the better. Yet you that said you would not suffer us to be tempted above our power, be merciful to me now, a miserable wretch, I beseech thee, who with Solomon cried to you, humbly desiring you, that I may neither be too much puffed up with prosperity, neither too much pressed down with adversity, lest I, being too full, should deny you, my God, or being too low brought, should despair and blaspheme you, my Lord and Savior. O merciful God, consider my misery, which is best known to you, and be thou to me a strong tower of defense, I humbly require you. Suffer me not to be tempted above my power, but either be thou a deliverer unto me out of this great misery, or else give me grace patiently to bear your heavy hand and sharp correction. It was your right hand that delivered the people of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh, who for the space of 400 years oppressed them and kept them in bondage. Let it therefore likewise seem good to thy fatherly goodness to deliver me, sorrowful wretch, for whom your Son Christ shed his precious blood on the cross, out of this miserable captivity and bondage in which I am now. How long will you be absent? Forever? O Lord, have you forgotten to be gracious? And have you shut up your loving kindness in displeasure? Will you be no more entreated? Is your mercy clean gone forever? And your promise come utterly to an end forevermore? Why do you make so long in tarrying? Shall I despair of your mercy, O God? Far be it from me. I am your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Give me grace, therefore, to tarry your leisure, and patiently to bear your works, assuredly knowing that as you can, so you will deliver me when it shall please you, nothing doubting or mistrusting your goodness towards me, for you know better what is good for me than I do. Therefore do with me in all things what you will, and plague me what way you will. Only in the meantime arm me, I beseech you, with your armor, that I may stand fast, my loins being girt about with verity, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and shod with the shoes prepared by the gospel of peace. Above all things taken to me the shield of faith, in which I may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and taken the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is your most holy word. It's with all manner of prayer and supplication, that I may refer myself wholly to your will, abiding your pleasure and comforting myself in those troubles that it shall please you to send me, seeing such troubles are profitable for me, seeing I am assuredly persuaded that it cannot be but well all that you do. Hear me, O merciful Father, for his sake, whom you would should be a sacrifice for my sins, to whom with you and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory. Amen. The following prayer is taken from Archibald Alexander's Thoughts on Religious Experience. A prayer for one who feels that he is approaching the borders of another world. Most merciful God, I rejoice that you reign over the universe with a sovereign sway, so that you do according to your will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. You are the maker of my body and father of my spirit, and you have a perfect right to dispose of me in that manner which will most effectually promote your glory. And I know that whatsoever you do is right, and wise and just and good. And whatever may be my eternal destiny, I rejoice in the assurance that your great name will be glorified in me. But as you have been pleased to reveal your mercy and your grace to our fallen, miserable world, and as the word of this salvation has been preached to me, inviting me to accept of eternal life, upon the gracious terms of the gospel, I cordially receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and only Redeemer, believing sincerely the whole testimony which you have given respecting his divine character, his real incarnation, his unspotted and holy life, his numerous and beneficent miracles, and meritorious death, and his glorious resurrection and ascension. I believe also in his supreme exaltation, in his prevalent intercession for his chosen people, in his affectionate care and aid afforded to his suffering members here below, and in his second coming to receive his humble followers to dwell with himself in heaven and to take vengeance on his obstinate enemies. My only hope and confidence of being saved rests simply on the mediatorial work and prevailing intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, in consequence of which the Holy Spirit is graciously sent to make application of Christ's redemption by working faith in us and repentance to life and rendering us fit for the heavenly inheritance by sanctifying us and the whole man, soul, body, and spirit. Grant, gracious God, that the rich blessings of the new covenant may be freely bestowed on your unworthy servant. I acknowledge that I have no claim to your favor on account of any goodness in me by nature, for alas, there dwells in me, that is in my flesh, no good thing, nor on account of any works of righteousness done by me, for all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Neither am I able to make atonement for any one of my innumerable transgressions, which I confess before you are not only many in number, but heinous in their nature, justly deserving your displeasure and wrath, so that if I were immediately sent to hell, you would be altogether just in my condemnation. Although I trust that I have endeavored to serve you with some degree of sincerity, yet whatever good thing I have ever done or even thought, I ascribe entirely to your grace, without which I can do nothing acceptable in your sight. And I am deeply convinced that my best duties have fallen far short of the perfection of your law, and have been so mingled with sin and the performance that I might justly be condemned for the most fervent prayer I ever made. And I would confess with shame and contrition that I am not only chargeable with sin in the act, but there is a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, aiming to bring me into captivity to the law of sin and death. This corrupt nature is a source of innumerable evil thoughts and desires, and damps the exercise of faith and love, and stands in the way of well-doing, so that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so deep and powerful is this remaining depravity that all efforts to eradicate or subdue it are vain without the aid of your grace. And when at any time I obtain a glimpse of the depth and turpitude of the sin of my nature, I am overwhelmed and constrained to exclaim with Job, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And now, righteous Lord God, Almighty, I would not attempt to conceal any of my actual transgressions, however vile and shameful they are, but would penitently confess them before you, and would plead in my defense nothing but the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died the just for the unjust to bring us near to God. For his sake alone do I ask or expect the rich blessings necessary to my salvation. For although I am unworthy, he is most worthy. Though I have no righteousness, he has provided by his expiatory death and by his holy life a complete justifying righteousness, in which spotless robe I pray that I may be clothed, so that you, my righteous judge, will see no sin in me, but will acquit me from every accusation and justify me freely by your grace, through the righteousness of my Lord and Savior, with whom you are well pleased. My earnest prayer is that Jesus may save me from my sins, as well as from their punishment, that I may be redeemed from all iniquity, as well as from the condemnation of the law, that the work of sanctification may be carried on in my soul by your word and spirit until it be perfected at your appointed time. Grant, O Lord, that as long as I am in the body, I may make it my constant study and chief aim to glorify your name, both with soul and body, which are no longer mine, but yours. For I am bought with a price, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Enable me to let my light so shine that others, seeing my good works, may be led to glorify your name. Make use of me as an humble instrument of advancing your kingdom on earth and promoting the salvation of immortal souls. If you have appointed sufferings for me here below, I beseech you to consider my weakness and let your chastisements be those of a loving father, that I may be made partaker of your holiness. And let me not be tempted above what I am able to bear, but with the temptation make a way of escape. O most merciful God, cast me not off in a time of old age. Don't forsake me when my strength declines. Now when I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not, but let your grace be sufficient for me, and enable me to bring forth fruit even in old age. May my hoary head be found in the ways of righteousness. Preserve my mind from dotage and imbecility, and my body from protracted disease and excruciating pain. Deliver me from despondency and discouragement in my declining years, and enable me to bear affliction with patience, fortitude, and perfect submission to your holy will. Lift upon me perpetually the light of your reconciled countenance, and cause me to rejoice in your salvation and in the hope of your glory. May the peace that passes all understanding be constantly diffused through my soul, so that my mind may remain calm through all the storms and vicissitudes of life. And as in the course of nature I must be drawn near to my end, and as I know I must soon put off this tabernacle, I humbly and earnestly beseech you, O Father of mercies, to prepare me for this inevitable and solemn event. Fortify my mind against the terrors of death. Give me, if it please you, an easy passage through the gate of death. Dissipate the dark clouds and mists which naturally hang over the grave, and lead me gently down into the gloomy valley. O, my kind shepherd, who have tasted the bitterness of death for me, and who knows how to sympathize with and succor the sheep of your pasture, be present to guide, to support, and to comfort me. Illumine with beams of heavenly light the valley and shadow of death, so that I may fear no evil. When heart and flesh fail, be the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let not my courage fail in the trying hour. Do not permit the great adversary to harass my soul in the last struggle, but make me a conqueror, and more than a conqueror, in this fearful conflict. I humbly ask that my reason may be continued to the last, and if it be your will, that I may be so comforted and supported that I may leave a testimony in favor of the reality of religion and your faithfulness in fulfilling your gracious promises, and that others of your servants who may follow after me may be encouraged by my example to commit themselves boldly to the guidance and keeping of the Shepherd of Israel. And when my spirit leaves this clay tenement, Lord Jesus, receive it. Send some of the blessed angels to convoy my inexperienced soul to the mansion which your love has prepared. And oh, let me be so situated, though in the lowest rank, that I may behold your glory. May I have an abundant entrance administered to me into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Christ, for whose sake and in whose name I ask all these things. Amen.